Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Doonland Christian Living Today. I'm Elliot Thosteson, co-host and co-founder of Doonland Christian Living. The other co-founder and co-host is Dawn. How are you tonight, Dawn?
I'm good. It sounds funny you saying good evening with all this light in the room.
Yeah, still getting used to that additional daylight savings time we picked up last weekend.
It feels like a gift.
It is a gift. It does. It does help us that the weather broke and we have some warmer temperatures and now the sun's staying with us a little bit longer. So it's starting to feel like it's a whole new season. As we have...
It is.
Yeah, we're going through this Lenten season in preparation for Easter and the Lord's gift to us and then sacrifice all in front of us. So we ask that you continue to support this ministry. We're thankful for that you're joining us this evening. Follow us at Facebook and like us there and follow us at Twitter at DCL Network. We hope that you are continuing to receive your email newsletters. Again, a lot of positive comments, particularly about photography and sometimes about those articles. But if you haven't yet received it, please send us an email message at faithshare@dclnetwork.org. That's faithshare@dclnetwork.org, and we'll be sure to add you to the list. Drop us a note. Let us know what you think about what we're doing here on this talk radio format, whether you find it helpful or want to see us have a conversation regarding a particular verse of Scripture. And we'll gladly go into it.
I look forward to seeing what pictures you select for this next week after the weekend that we've had with the beautiful sights that we've seen.
Yeah, we had some interesting sights, haven't we?
Should be interesting.
If nothing else, it'll be pleasing to the eye, and hopefully to the words as well that we share with you and what the Lord gives us to say in this weekly newsletter. So we're going to get started tonight. We're going to work our way into, we've been in and out of the Old Testament quite often, so now I kind of lean in into the New Testament this time around, and we're going to be working from 1 John. Before we do, Dawn, is there anything you want to share with our audience tonight about anything that we're doing with our ministry?
No, I don't, but I'm excited to talk about the song, Come to Jesus. That we're going to be playing in just a minute here. It was a song that I did with Gina and Tim Rue about a year ago, and it's got a wonderful message.
Well, shall we play it then, and we'll come back to our conversation?
Yes.
Very good. Dawn, Gina, and Tim singing Come to Jesus.
Which is GCGDG.
1, 2, 3, 4. had a couple of jams out there at the end.
That is a cool song. So I agree with Tim's comments there at the end. It's very interesting to see how you guys came together so quickly in that song that night. And I'm very thankful that you did it, and very thankful that I was able to record it and keep it for purposes to be used such as this. So we're going to be working our way. Before we get into a scripture verse for tonight in 1 John, I want to talk to you a little bit about this, and that this is one of the epistle from John the Apostle, whose son of Zebedee, brother James, it is. The Apostle John, otherwise known as the Beloved One. This is what Jesus said, you know, to whom I love. And in this epistle, we see a couple things. And I want to just read a comment that comes to us from the book, The Biblical World, by J.H. Barber. And he says, the author wrote the epistle so that the joy of his audience would be full, and that they would not practice sin, and that you believe in the name of the Son of God, may know that you have eternal life. And can we therefore distinguish in the epistle both a general purpose, that is to increase mutual joy, and a specific purpose, to provide readers with tests by which they might assure themselves of their salvation? And I think that's a good framework to come into play here. This is written probably somewhere around 90 A.D. Is the general time frame, 85 to 95 A.D. John is the spiritual one, if you will. John, he speaks in conceptual terms for his audience to really get a fuller sense of the Spirit of God that's alive and how to understand the movement of the Spirit within. So he takes a broader, more philosophical viewpoint in his writings, and he paints an image as opposed to giving us specific descriptors. You know, he's painting a picture for people. So, Dawn, you want to go ahead and...
Sure. This is 1 John. It's chapter 3 and verses 18 and 19. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence.
So I think this is a good combination to work with. To me, this really helps me in terms of understanding our walk in faith in terms of what we are to do and our purpose in life. And there are a few, several scripture verses that I'm going to help frame this with. But Dawn, before I do that, anything that jumps out at you that you want to start off with?
No, I want to see where you want to take us.
Okay. Well, let me share a few other verses, again, framing different aspects of this verse. First one comes again from John, the Gospel of John, this time chapter 4. Unless you people see signs, and this is and wonders, Jesus told him, you'll never believe. And where I think this ties in is this issue of calling ourselves to action. And it's one thing to speak love, but it's another thing to show love. And those are two different issues. And I think Jesus, when he's catching us in this about needing signs, how else will somebody know that we're loving them if we don't demonstrate that love?
I was thinking, too, that's exactly, it's not good enough to just sit quietly and in your own head know you love.
Yeah, and we'll get into a little bit. Remember that, because I want to come back to that, Don. You bring up a very good point that's worthy of deeper discussion from a couple of perspectives. The next one comes to us from Ezekiel, and it's interesting how this one ties back to, and this is Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31. My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to hear your words, but do not put them into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. And then we hear John again in the Gospel of John chapter 13. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And again, I'm going to reference that issue of not just speaking, but showing the love, right? And I thought a couple of commentaries. These are brief, but I want to share these up front because I think it will help our discussion come along. This is from the Pulpit Commentaries, and deeds are needed to complete the kind word. Truth is needed to correct the insincere tongue. Okay, so, you know, what we believe and what we say we believe versus what we do, if they're not in harmony together, you know, this is where this commentary comes into play, right? The truth will be known when we're in harmony with our words, when we actually take our words to action and live in the world based on how we say the world should be, right? It's one thing for us to say what everybody should do, and do something different on our own terms, right?
Yeah. But, you know, being Lutheran, we always hear about grace. And, in fact, somebody sent me a cute little verse that said, you know you're Lutheran if your house is a mess, but you still have God's grace.
Yeah.
You're still in. You know, that's something like that.
Well, and I want to be careful here, because I don't want, and you bring this up, and it's good, valid to bring it up now, Dawn, because I don't want people to look at this as deeds, as something to prove or something to earn.
Works.
This is not works by that sense. This is a completion of the love cycle, right? If you have love in your heart, you will use love in your actions. And that's the issue. It's not to say that you have to prove anything. And that goes back into what Barbara was talking about. You know, it's not that they'll gain salvation. Salvation's already theirs. But they'll come to assure themselves, because they'll feel the fullness of Christ when they show love and act in love to others. Right.
And you almost can't help but let it spill over and take action.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that goes right into the last commentary that I want to share as we break this conversation into its component parts. And this comes to us from Gil, and it says, brotherly love was the distinguishing character. And this is referring to the disciples. This is how they were known. This is why they were known, for their character. Now, how do you know somebody's character? Is it just by the books they read? Is it the words they use? No, it's by their actions in combination with their beliefs and the treatment of others, right? You can't establish character without being recognized as someone in the world doing something. It goes hand in hand. So I think this is a great verse for us to work on. So kind of working our way back through to the original verse. Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And as we look at that, I just fall back to sometimes, so again, we always go through this issue of discussion of our time in the Lord is 1 hour, 1.5 hours, maybe 3 hours that are dedicated to Him on a given Sunday morning or Wednesday evening in a Bible study or something along that line, right? But the rest of the week, we're living on our own. We're living on our own terms. And are we really taking what we understood coming from those times of worship and brought that full into our world for the rest of the week? You know, as we come out of Sunday morning prepared and ready and anxious to share the love of Christ that we receive and the affirmation we receive through the gift of worship, to go and show that same love and character to others in their time of need, or just in general as we approach people in our work or in our day.
That's a challenge that we always try to put forward to any congregation that we're talking to. To take it out of the church. Jesus is not just in those walls. And live your Christianity and let Christ work through you throughout the week. Look for opportunities.
Right, right. And one of the things I want to bring forward to you is in this latter part of this verse, this is how we know that we belong to the truth. Again, associating our beliefs, our understandings with our actions, that alignment. Right, we're not doing anything contrary to what we say. We're not doing things differently to what we believe. We're not saying things contrary to what we do. Right, we have this alignment, this harmony of the two aspects of our lives coming together: our beliefs and our ethics, as well as our actions in the world. So then it goes a little bit further in this last line, and I want to explore this with you, Dawn. See where you take this.
Line.
How we set our hearts at rest in His presence. You know, I can just speak to times for ourselves. I believe we've had enough conversation. I can speak for you also on this, but I want to hear from you, Dawn. But, you know, when we do go out into the world, we do share God's love. You know, the joy that we receive, the level of quote-unquote satisfaction, which is the wrong term to use, but it's a feeling of completeness. It's a feeling of worthiness. It's a feeling like you had value in the world today, and you're full and complete. You feel like a sense of calm, a sense of energy at the same time, but also in a sense of knowing something was happening that was beyond you, right? You took things to another level because the Spirit worked through you, and you allowed yourself to be part of that process. And this is where we find peace. Well, I contend that where we struggle, I'll put it on myself, is when I am not able to show that I had taken action where the Lord wanted me to, in the way He wanted me to use my gifts. when I sit idle doing this, the normal day-to-day work that maybe I'm paid to do, which is different than the work, you know, the Lord wants me to do at times, right? You know, if I don't have that ability to bring closure to God's gift in me and ever use that and display that, that's when I get most anxious. That's when I'm most rambunctious. That's when I'm most, quote-unquote, lost in the world. And some of that is probably where I was feeling today, as I had a couple of people, in particular a pastor, ask me if I was all right. And I just kind of felt this disconnect from the world. And I think part of that is because I did not I'm not having closure in a frequent amount of time or in a recent time to where I'm demonstrating what God wants me to do and how he wants me to use the gifts he's given me. So how does that ring true for you, Donna? Does it ring true?
Well, first, when I read this line, I think a lot more about how we set our hearts at rest in his presence is your own prayer time. To me, it's talking about setting your heart at rest in his presence. So you're in prayer and you're accepting and you're letting that fill you.
And certainly that's true. I think I'm certainly right there with exactly the truth that you're bringing forward in that. I want to paint a harder picture maybe for people to gravitate towards, but understand that you are also in prayer when you're serving the Lord, right?
Yeah.
So
I was thinking about us a couple Fridays ago with those young ladies that got stuck on the ice with their car. And we were going out to dinner, and we were just about to walk in the restaurant, and there they were, looking sad.
Yeah.
They were trying, and they weren't actually looking for help, but they sure needed it.
Well, and we weren't very much. It took a whole bunch more people to get there before we can
but
really
you know
make
what?
Something happen.
You have to know that you're trying drew attention.
Well, that's a good point. How many others walked by, right?
Yeah.
We don't know. Maybe we were the first to see. Maybe we were like the 10th to see, but certainly, after we started to support and participate in the world, others joined in, right?
Yes, and none of us got any major injuries from it, which was also good because you know how that can be on the ice.
It was a long day to be wearing white pants, though. I'll tell you that much.
It did ruin the pants. That is correct.
But I encourage people to try to take this journey just a little bit deeper, a little bit longer, a little bit further into your life, and understand, as Dawn was talking about, where you have that heart and rest of heart when you're in prayer, but you also can get a sense of that and maybe even a heightened level of God's presence in your heart and maybe even more peace by having that presence in the world to display, to support and care for others, taking it into that action item, if you will. That action item may just be a continuation of prayer, but a prayer for others, you know, and I really want people to explore what specific gifts they have and encourage them to go down that path of utilizing them and call to actions. In prayer for others is an action. Prayer is an action word. It's in as you demonstrate your desire and your gifts and talents to care and lift up someone else in a time of need or thanks to God for the gift of someone else, that is taking it to that next level. That's participation in action and standing behind the truth that you know that God answers prayers, right? So, excuse me, so you bringing that forward is just as purposeful here as what I was talking about earlier.
I actually never really thought about it in these terms before, but one of the things that really brings me pleasure is finding jobs on Indeed that I think are a great fit for someone that I know and encouraging them by sending it to them and just... If nothing else, even if it is something they decide not to go after, I think that it can be very pleasing to them to know that someone thought that they had that talent enough to go after that position. So maybe you think that's a stretch, but I do think encouraging one another in whatever way we can is a
absolutely.
A positive.
Absolutely. But I'm going to say that there has been specific times where we took action collectively, Dawn, you know, in either a workshop that we've done, a service that we've led, where we really knew that we had the complete unfolding of God's presence because of the work that was being accomplished. You know, I go back to the workshop in Chicago and the emotions that were touched, the people that were touched and how we felt to have been part of that process. We felt connected. We felt in alignment. We felt like God is with us in a very real way, right? We felt his presence stronger than what we may have felt if we had not taken that action. Not that we didn't believe, not that we didn't trust, but we actually walked in that truth and presented that truth forward. And that closes the loop for us.
But even last Wednesday, when we went to another Lutheran church, and you gave testimony and I sang, it was such a wonderful communion of people that we haven't seen, I haven't seen in a while, that really were so appreciative for what we brought forward to their congregation for that evening.
Yeah, so we in this verse, there are two parts here that we want to make sure that we leave you with as we start to look towards the last few minutes of our show. But, you know, love and understanding what love is not just the receiving of it, but it's also in the giving of it. And that's the give and take that we see in this verse coming forward. Let us not love with words or just speech alone, but with actions. And that actions isn't just doing, but it's actions in the truth. The truth by the knowledge of what comes forward, the gift of God calling you forward, and who generates that ability to care and love, knowing that and connecting that. Again, if we just do things without connecting them back to God's gift to us, it may help, but it certainly leaves opportunity for something else to have happened. But when we connect that dot together and we know we're acting on behalf of, and with God's power and with God's strength, that is seen, that is known, and others will recognize us. Just as, you know, we hear in Gil's exposition statement, they were recognized and distinguished by their character, right? So that not just what they said, but what they did. And what they did was always connected to what they knew as the truth, that God gave us his son to die for us on the cross, rose him from the dead to save us from our sins, and has given us that freedom now to preach that word, to act in that word, to give healing and grace to others because of that gift he gave us. That is the truth. And if we stand in action with connecting everything we do to that simple truth, others will have an opportunity to experience the love. We will have the opportunity to experience the fullness of that love and not just the earthly portion of that love.
You know, it's like so many times you'll see it over and over again, and we've said it in the things that we've gone into, that we were trying to do something for Christ and so amazed at how filled we are by it. And I'm talking about the different workshops that we've given, going and doing the services, even things like last Wednesday, just being there for others. And you're going because you think that's where Christ wants you, but you leave at peace. And
you leave at peace, filled, right?
Filled.
You know, we talk as we've become more mature adults in our lives, right? Over the course of family life. And, you know, and we talked about our life before kids, and then we talked about our life as raising kids. And it's like, how much more full was our life? You know, how much more full did we? Well, we didn't understand half of what life was all about before our kids. Yet we thought we had a full life. Yet we enjoyed it, right? But the joy that came from raising a family, having these other lives among us to care for and to love, really raised our understanding of how full life really can be. And now we push that far to the next level and understanding what faith in God and faith in Jesus Christ and what the love of Christ now fills us with. So we have this layering of maturity and understanding, I believe, that we just want to say to you, you know, look at that as an opportunity to challenge yourself, to grow in fullness by that demonstration of your love through your kids, to your family, through your friends, and now connecting that to the ultimate love that's given to you in the grace of Christ.
I think that you'll be amazed at what you can do. You just have to try.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're starting to wind to a close. I want to just tell you that we're getting very close to specifics. We have another meeting coming up this week. We ask for your continued prayers to try to help us understand that there's an opportunity out there and where we are supposed to be
and
how to discern this and how to move forward with it.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about the possibility of bringing a prayer service forward in earlier discussions this past week. Things look very good. And In fact, there's a flyer ready to go. We're talking about an April start date, but we have some things to uncover first, and we're going to have that resolved for this week, we believe, and you'll see some firm announcements coming out. But please continue to lift us up in your prayers for continued discernment and understanding of God's movement and how this ministry is to be used to His glory. With that, Dawn, anything you want to bring to forward as an
No, end? I think you've covered it. Okay. We're in good shape.
Well, we hope that you'll pass this archive link on to others, spread the word, let us know what we can be doing differently to help you in your faith journey, and we just give God thanks for the gift and opportunity to speak to you each Sunday evening. So with that, we're going to say have a blessed week. Enjoy wherever the Lord's going to take you, and whatever experiences are going to unfold for you, receive with an open heart and with love in your heart as well. We'll leave you with Michael W. Smith singing Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Bye now.
Are you guys ready to worship out there tonight?
I know you know the song. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.